Good morning. Let me welcome you to this gathering of our Bridge family. I want to invite you to come now and worship the Lord with us. And to help you, I'd like to start off by asking you a question. I'd like you to think about this, and then I pray that in our time together, the Lord will help to answer these questions for you and help you to grow as a disciple who will in turn make disciples who will make disciples. So here's my question to begin with. How important is it to you that you learn how to discern matters rightly, that you're able to discern matters rightly? Let me press it one step further and say, how important is it to you that you're able to discern things righteously? Not just rightly, but righteously. Now, if you take the call, the commands, and the commissioning of Christ seriously, I would submit to you that it's very important that you do truly take to heart the call and the need to discern matters rightly and righteously. Think about what Jesus said just before he sent his disciples out in Matthew 10:16. He said, and it's a command, that you are to be as shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves. Note the requirement there to discern matters rightly and righteously. Well, friend, I pray that our time together today will help you in this way. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord, I pray now that you will help to center us on you, that you'll help each one within the sound of my voice to realize that there is a desperate need to righteously discern all that you have told us, all that you have warned us of, all that you have called us and commissioned us to. I pray that each one now that is here with me to worship you, I pray that we will all grow in our understanding of both your grace and your glory through your gospel. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen. Well, friends, let me remind you of the context that we're in. We're continuing on in a sermon series that's entitled Gospel Gardening, Roots, Fruits, and Boots, where we've focused in on Christ, Christianity, and the church. And we've spent the bulk of our time at the beginning of the year looking at the roots, connecting Christ to the gospel from cover to cover, beginning to end in the Bible. And we've now for 10 weeks been focused on the fruits that come out of the root of Christ and his gospel. And I'm here to tell you that today is yet another transition day. My prayer is that we will now transition after today from the fruits into the boots. We'll look next week. We'll start looking at our family tree that truly is the byproduct of the roots and the fruits of Almighty God. Now, as we press in today, I'm going to use for our text 1 John 2, verse 6. 1 John 2, 6 is a verse that speaks very succinctly to a combination, a harmonizing of the roots, the fruits, and sets us up for the boots next week and for the finishing of this year. You see, 1 John as a letter is there in part and primarily to help us to define and defend the church, to define and defend the church. And we see this exemplified in 1 John 2:6, where we are told, and again, this is God's word, that those who claim to be in Christ must walk as Jesus walked. Those who claim to be in Christ, must walk, live out a life, a walk as Jesus walked. Now, I pray that you'll see in our time together today that where and when you and I take to heart the call to discern matters righteously, we need to do three things. Not necessarily all of us, but I think most of us would benefit if you want to discern things rightly. We would all benefit by getting the details, having some diagrams put before us so that we can actually see things better, and then oftentimes having an actual demonstration is what is used by God to get things driven deep into our heart. And with that understood and that belief, I share with you today a sermon that is entitled Detailing, Diagramming, and Demonstrating Biblical Fruit. My prayer is that I'll be able to help you to rightly and righteously discern God's standard when it comes to biblical fruit, the good and the bad, the living and the dead, by first detailing biblical fruit, then secondly, diagramming biblical fruit, and then thirdly, demonstrating biblical fruit. In fact, I'm going to try to bring all three of those together before we're done today. Now, our goal is to get established the timeless truth that the Lord is laying out for us, not just in 1 John 2:6, but in this entire study on biblical fruit, the good fruit that is spiritual fruit, fruit of the Spirit, and to discern righteously the bad fruit, the dead fruit, the fake fruit that is actually the works of the flesh. Now, to do that, I want to lay before you a big idea, a takeaway that kind of puts the capstone on our focus and study of biblical fruits. That capstone is simply this: to know and understand, to take to heart the fact that Christians, true Christians, are the forechosen, faithful family that fights with fruit. Said another way, true Christians are the faithful family of God, the foreknown, chosen fighters and fruitful people that will pursue Christ's likeness no matter what, all by his grace and all for his glory. Now, I pray that as we focus on the detailing, the diagramming, and the demonstrating of true biblical fruit, that you will see that we truly are the foreknown family, faith-filled, fruit-producing, fighting family of Almighty God. So with that said, under the umbrella of 1 John 2:6, walk with me now through God's word. I'm going to share with you quite a bit of scripture. I pray that this will bless you. So let's begin by the detailing of biblical fruit. And in this way, I want to simply go back to where we have been over the last 9 weeks. I want to remind you that we have detailed biblical fruit. We started with Joel 2:28, and we looked at the biblical miracle that is in every piece of biblical fruit. We then went on to Zechariah 4:6, and we saw the muscle that is in every miracle, the Holy Spirit, who generates and gives forth the opportunity for us to bear biblical fruit. Then we went into an alliteration stream and we looked at what it is to define and then to discern biblical fruit per Jesus in Matthew 12:33. Then we began to dissect biblical fruit in John 15:1-17. The next week we came back and we focused more deeply on the describing of biblical fruit per John 15:8. Next we went on to the delivering of biblical fruit per 1 Peter 1:3-4. And then the next week we came back and we saw what it was to deliberately dangle biblical fruit. And we continued in that same passage, 1 Peter 1:5-11. Then we moved to where most people start and we said, let us decipher biblical fruit. And we looked zeroing in on Galatians 5:25, in the middle of the passage that would show us what are the works of the flesh and opposing or contrasting them with the fruit of the Spirit. Then last week, we went into Romans 8:1-11, and we contrasted the damning, dark, and dead fruit as opposed to the developing genuine fruit of the Spirit and how we can see this in God's word. So today, as we close out our focus on the fruits, we have now first seen the repeated detailing of biblical fruit, which will continue now. as we transition into the diagramming of biblical fruit. And we'll get ready for the demonstrating that is coming up before we're done. Here, again, let me just bring together both the detailing and the diagramming. You see, last week I shared with you a diagram of what it is to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to generate biblical fruit. And we contrasted that to the works of the flesh with a diagram. Well, today I'm going to spend the next bulk of our time, the majority of our time, focusing in on adding details to that diagram. And let me tell you that in the sermon notes that will be available to you with this sermon, I'm going to share with you what I'm about to walk through, 25 specific points and steps detailing what it is to work with and understand this tool, this truth and love teaching tool. In fact, I like to call it my here to there truth and love teaching tool. The notes will be there for you. This time, rather than just drawing it, I'm going to fill it with scripture to support every step. And I pray help you to better understand this truth. And I really pray help you to help others to do the same. So with that said, let's go ahead and let's start by going into that same diagram that I showed you last week. I call this, again, the here to there truth and love teaching tool. And it all begins with the question of where are you? Where are you in regards to your faith? Where are you in terms of the family of God? Where are you in terms of your forever? Your forever. And you'll see there is no doubt that your answer to the where are you is directly going to impact your forever, at least to the degree that your question or your answer to that question is honest. Now, again, let me remind you, God's word says, 1 John 2:6, those who claim to be in Christ must walk as Jesus walked. So again, I ask you, where are you? Where are you in your walk? Where is your work? Where is your worship? What is your witness? You may be thinking, who are you to ask me? Well, I'm the guy who knows 2 Corinthians 13:5. I'm the under shepherd that loves you enough that says to you, and I now quote God's word, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Where are you? Friend, I pray that you'll understand that no matter who you are, no matter where you are on the planet, we all start here. I draw the circle of here, representing this fallen world. That every one of us starts, the Bible teaches, here. This circle represents fallen human life. We're all starting here. And it's Jesus who says here, per John 12:31, now judgment is upon this world. Here is a fallen world under judgment. I pray that you see yourself in here. If you're a Christian today, then you need to at least acknowledge that you began in here. We all begin in here. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone's default position is in here, in this fallen world where I pray you'll see yourself again in need of a Savior, in need of a miracle. Because it's God's word that tells us in John 6:44 that no one is going to get out of here unless the Father draws us. Every one of us, we're in that same portrait that we see in Ephesians 2, verse 1. For you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Friends, you and I, we all began dead in our sins. We began in here. And if we don't receive the miracle of saving grace, if God doesn't draw us, if Christ is not miraculously capturing us with his grace, then not only do we start here, We will end here. We will die here. And that will take us away from Christ. Well, what happens? How are we to have the hope of the good news of the gospel? Well, I'm here to tell you, praise God, that every Christian has broken out of here. That's what this arrow designates. That if you are a true biblical Christian, you are no longer in here. You're no longer held back and debilitated by the short-term problems of here. No, you're not even going to have to deal with the long-term consequences of here, the destruction of here. Because if you're a Christian, praise God, you've broken out of here by God's grace and for God's glory. Again, John 6:44, Jesus said, "No one comes to me unless the Father draws him." So if you've been brought out of here, it's the miracle of God's grace. Hear it again in Romans 8:30. "And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." I pray you heard he 6 times in Romans 8:30. You see, it's attributed to the work of God that he miraculously, by his grace, breaks the believers out of here and puts them on that trajectory to heaven. Oh, praise God. Praise God again. 2 Timothy 1:9, so that you understand this is by grace. It's a miracle. 2 Timothy 1:9. "He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." Oh, I pray you see the role and the exclusive gift that is given by God's grace through Christ. It's the gospel. It's the good news. So it brings us to this question of, if you, Christian, are now out of here, where are you going? Where are you going? Galatians 6:8 shows us how important this question is. "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap destruction. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit receive eternal life." Praise God. Where are you going? I want to show you the heavenly there that every Christian is going to. Praise God. It's John 14:3. You want to know where there is? It's where Jesus is. Listen to what he said in John 14:3. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also." That where I am, there you will be also. There is heaven with Jesus. Amen and amen. And for the true Christians, the promise is that you will get there. If you've been justified, if you've been saved, if you've been broken out of here, and you've been promised there with Christ, then guess what? If you've been justified, you will be glorified, because the promises of God are the children of God's guarantees. Amen and amen. Jesus said that if I have saved you, you are free. John 8:32 and 36, "For he who the Son sets free is free indeed, and it's the truth that will set you free. His name is Jesus." Now there, listen to the promise again here from the Old Testament, Psalm 20, verse 6. Now I know the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Amen and amen. There is where heaven is, where Jesus resides, and where the promises of God will be fulfilled into eternity. Praise God, your hope is there in heaven, friend. Well, let's look at our 7th step. Let's understand that the space between here and there, this is where the Christian is sanctified. This is where God does his work on us and in us and through us. Praise God. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 2:13. What a powerful truth. but we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. See the harmonizing there of divine sovereign grace and human responsibility. Praise God. What a powerful verse to point to the sanctification process and journey between here and there. This is why Titus 2:15 tells us that we are to declare these things, to exhort and to rebuke with all authority, letting no one disregard us, because the journey from here to there requires this sanctification. Now, know this, that the invitation to sanctification is available to all people. Acts 20:21, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. This is an invitation for sanctification to all people. Now, that doesn't mean that all people will be justified or sanctified or glorified, but it does tell us that the invitation is to go out to all people to be invited into sanctification. If they will surrender to victory and receive the miracle of God's grace, then everyone who leaves here and heads to there will be on the road to sanctification. Praise God. Now, the tragic reality in the midst of all this good news is that there are many people who are in here, still in here, and they actually meet Jesus. Some of you are meeting him right now as I proclaim his gospel to you. But the tragic reality is many people who meet Jesus simply meet him mechanically. Some of them even meet him ministerially. But when they meet the Messiah, it's not in a miraculous way. They hold to themselves. They do things their own way. Even those who claim him and act religiously and do the rules of their religion. It was Jesus who said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I do? He says, it's not enough to have met me or to claim me. It's not enough to be in church. There are way too many people that are in church who are not in Christ. Countless numbers of people who are meeting Jesus but not surrendering to him. Those who are starting and stopping and taking these really wasted steps of religion. Those who I describe oftentimes as trying to jump over the cross. And there are those wicked, evil ones who try to tunnel under the cross. Those who are in here doing damage. Some sincerely thinking that they are Christians who are not. Others who are just playing games and know that they're not. It's a world filled with confusion. I want you to listen to Romans 8, 6 and 7. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile towards God. Everyone in here, no matter how moral they are, no matter how much they've changed their behaviors, if they're focused on their flesh and themselves, if all they are is moral and making some modifications to their behavior, if the miracle has not happened, then they are hostile towards God. This is such a tragic reality. Why? Because of what Jesus taught in the parable of the soils, that there are many who have a meeting who don't get a miracle, those who appear to have the beginning of life who only die. The point is that there is going to be a judgment that comes, and that the fake starts, and like the fake fruit that doesn't last, it will be burnt up. It will not make it to there in heaven. Well, friend, please hear me and hear these truths. You got to know that here is filled with wolves, with goats, and with weeds. Those who may look and act as though they are saved but are still lost. Please read the Sermon on the Mount. Go and read the three chapters where Jesus is preaching. He warns about the wolves. He warns about those goats who think that they're sheep. He warns about the weeds that look like the wheat. In fact, those weeds come in and choke out much of those who think that they are saved, but truly are still in love with the world. Friends, it's those people who find themselves comfortable and satisfied here that end up thinking about, and let me show you now another area. I call this the anywhere. Those who say, listen, I'm okay here. And even if I don't stay here, I'll end up anywhere else. I mean, I don't want to go on that path of faithful obedience to there, but I've heard that there's an okay way, and you can get anywhere else you want just by doing things in a way that either makes you happy or seems to be more of a moral path, a middle road. There's a middle road. It'll take you anywhere you want to go. Friends, again, God's word says don't listen to those lies or those liars. Colossians 2:8. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Don't listen to that. It's not true. Friends, that's the broad road that leads to destruction. You think I'm kidding? That's exactly what Jesus said. If you're comfortable here and you think that you'll just go anywhere else, listen, that is the broad road that leads to destruction. Jesus in Matthew 7:13, coming to the closing crescendo, the exclamation mark on his Sermon on the Mount, he says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, the broad road, the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. It's the broad, wide, easy road going anywhere you want that is actually going to destruction. If you follow that path, you will die. You will die eternal. You will know eternal torment and destruction. Now, you don't have to choose going there. You don't have to choose the anywhere. All you have to do is say, well, I'll just stay here. I won't go that crazy way. I'll just stay here in this religious circle. Friend, I pray that you'll come to realize that here has a trap door that will take you to the anywhere of hell. That trap door we know is there because it's Genesis 4:7, where we're told that if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. Sin is crouching at your door. 1 Peter 5:8 says that the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for souls to devour. There's a trap door, and all you have to do is be satisfied and complacent here, and you will come right through. You'll drop through that trap door by simply being complacent and satisfied here. That trap door, John 3:36 tells us, is there, and it will be hit and fallen through by all those who disobey. John 3:36, those who believe have life, but those who do not obey do not have life, but the wrath of God abides on them. It's the road of disobedience that will drop you like a bad habit right through that trap door all the way down to hell. You've got to hear and heed this warning. Again, if you stay here, you will end up elsewhere. You will end up eternally separated from Christ with those that have pushed him away. This is what we see in Galatians 5. Verse 19 through 21. Again, God's word. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and now hear me because this is why I went so quickly, and other sins like these. and other sins like these. I didn't give you the only list that damns. I gave you a sample, and it includes other sins like these. Anything other than that which is the fruit of the Spirit is by definition a damning truth. Hear and heed this word of warning, I pray. God's word continues, and other sins like these, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life, do you hear it? Let me warn you again, the way I warned you before, that anyone living that sort of life, those kinds of sins, sins like these, and or this sort of life. It's a very broad catching net. Other sins like these, living lives of that sort of life, those folks will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the word of God. That's not Jeff. That's God's word speaking here. I pray that you will hear and heed this word of God, that you will righteously discern through this detailing and now describing of biblical fruit, this diagramming of the biblical fruit, that you'll see that this broad road leads to destruction. Again, it's Jesus who said it in Matthew 25:46. And these, the broad road walkers, will go away into eternal punishment. And these, the broad road walkers, will go away into eternal punishment. But the righteous will go into eternal life. That's Jesus speaking. That's directly from Creator, King Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Friends, I pray that you will see that there is a solution. There is a solution, and it comes in two ways. First, the solution was to perfectly uphold the law of God, that God gave us his law, and if anyone would follow it perfectly, that's the solution. All you have to do is be perfect to get from here to there. The problem is, none of us are perfect. We never were, and we never will be. The law of God, while it is there, and if it were followed perfectly, it would be the solution, it's not going to help you and me, imperfect human beings. Praise God, there is one who lived out the law of the Lord perfectly. His name is Jesus. That's how and why he is our Lord and Savior if you're a Christian. But let me just point out to you that the law itself, as perfect as it is, was never intended to save us. No, it was there to teach us. You see, the law of God, the perfect law of God, which is the connector between here and there, it is our teacher and our tutor. It teaches us the need for the truth, who is Christ. Listen again to Galatians 3:24. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. It's the law that teaches us that we can only be saved by grace through faith in Jesus the Christ. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, per the word of God alone, for the glory of God alone. You see, he becomes the sphere in which we find all of our meaning, all of our mission, all of our messages. He is our all in all. Praise God. You see, friends, it's in this gospel truth that we find what we need. It's Romans 8:3 that says, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. He did it, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. It's all of Christ. That's the demonstration. It's the demonstration of the cross. It's to see that we need the miracle that can only be met in the Messiah. His name is Jesus. and where and when one is saved, he puts us on this mission as missionaries. If you've received the miracle of saving grace from the one who can save, Messiah, King Jesus, he has now turned you into a missionary who lives on mission. Amen and amen. I pray that you see the MMM here in the diagram, that we are as living, breathing ambassadors of Christ. If you are a Christian, you are his aroma. You are his army. You are his ambassador who lives on mission. This is the truth that we get to demonstrate to all people as we pick up our cross and we follow him. We do as Christ has done through the power of his grace, which he delivers, he distributes. It's him who brings to us the power to bear much fruit. This is that road. You see, friends, it's only in Christ and in the power of his Holy Spirit that anyone can stay on the narrow path. That's what he gives us. We can't uphold the law perfectly, so he gives us the ability to walk the narrow path. That's what we see. It's in, again, Matthew 7, now verse 14. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Friends, you and I can't do this without the miracle as given from the Messiah. Having the Holy Spirit, the muscle in us to live out this miracle, to live out the mission as missionaries. Oh, I pray that you see on this stairway to heaven, literally this trajectory of sanctification, that you see, yes, it's going to be hard. There are going to be peaks and valleys. We're promised it will have a pathway of persecution. You're going to live in spiritual warfare. Listen to what God's word said. Again, 2 Corinthians 4:17. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond comparison. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be hard. If anybody's promising you the kind of prosperity that isn't centered and fulfilled in eternity, but rather that you're going to have some life on easy street down here, they're lying to you. They're manipulating your emotions. They're trying to deceive you. Friends, listen. Listen, it's going to be a narrow path. It's going to get harder and better every day. Oh yes, we're going to have those high water mountaintop experiences, but we're also going to know what it is to feel like we're sinking into the swamp. We're going to get kicked in the gut. We're going to get our backs stabbed. The wolves are going to come out. The liars, the deceivers, they're going to do their damage. It's okay. Because we know that while the battles rage on, the war has been won. Jesus promised us that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And remember, if you've been saved, if you're out of here and on your way there, you will get home. That's his promise. Praise God. Listen to Acts 1:8, the verse upon which our church was built. But you will receive power. Why? So that you can be Christ's witnesses. Now, that may involve a witness that gets martyred. That's okay, because you'll have the power to be his witness, and you'll show the world that he's worthy of our worship. And if your witness is genuine and true, you're on your way home to heaven. And praise God, you'll get to bring more people with you as his ambassador. That's the promise. This road is not going to be easy, but it will be fruitful. It will be a path with fighting. It will be a path with friction. It will be uphill. It will be bumpy, but it will be blessed. It will be blessed and it will be filled with experiences with the living God. It will be filled with the kind of memories that are truly miraculous. You'll have the message of the mission and the Messiah. And just imagine, I had it today, this morning. I was able to preach this truth, this gospel, to a woman named Angelina in the slums of Karamoja, Uganda. And she said, I think I'm too far gone for Jesus and his gospel. And I got to tell her, no, nobody who's still breathing is too far gone for the invitation of the gospel. Oh, friends, we get to live out this power, this promise, this purpose as his people. Oh, praise God, may you see in the details, in the diagram, in the demonstration of the cross, all that Christ wants you to know, to grow into, and to be. Praise God. Here we see it laid out before us in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, what we know as the fruit of the Spirit, that when you live with this demonstration in you and through you, you will be, again, per God's word, the Holy Spirit will produce in you this kind of fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these types of things. Again, it's plural. These are not the exclusive fruit of the Spirit. No, in the same way that the works of the flesh are bountiful and plentiful, so it is with the fruit of the Spirit, that anything and everything that comes from the Lord, anything and everything that brings glory to God, anything and everything in your life and through your life that is heading towards Christ, that is truly working out His promises, His power, His purposes, that is the fruit of the Spirit. That is the promise. That's the demonstration of a witness that is walking, working, even warring in worship. This is what we see. Again, the miracle on display through the Messiah living out on mission. Do you see, friends, everyone in here needs the miracle. Only Christ Jesus can give that miracle, and where and when He does, He calls and commissions, He commands, He's created every Christian to live out this mission as a missionary. Praise God. I want you to be reminded that even though this is a battle, that the blessing is in the battle. Read Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 20. See how we're called to live in the full armor of God, and that we have the blessing of being those who have this full armor. Listen to God's word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The devil is scheming. He uses the lies and the liars to do his scheming. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Praise God. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. You can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, now imagine, after all of this, this is what you get to have. This is the demonstration. You, Christian, we, church, we walk around in this world as a witness, worshiping in our warfare, in wearing, demonstrating the whole armor of God. And to that end, this is what the Word of God says, to that end, keep alert. Keep alert with all perseverance. Doesn't matter how you start, it matters how you end. Keep alert with all perseverance. Beware. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, praying for all the other brothers and sisters. That's what we do, Bridge family. We persevere in prayer, lifting up, coming alongside, bearing the burdens of, demonstrating a supernatural love and unity. John 17, the oneness that is perfect. That's what the Word of God says. As the Father is in the Son, and the Son is in the Father, that we will be in Him and in one another with a perfect unity, so that the world will know that Jesus is Lord. That's John 17. Again, that's not Jeff, that's Jesus speaking. That's how important this is, that we love and pray for one another. Verse 19, and also pray for me, says the Apostle Paul, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly. I pray this prayer of Paul, and I ask you, pray this for me, as Paul asks the Ephesians to pray for him. Pray that God will give me his words to proclaim boldly, with zeal and passion, while at the same time with a tender compassion that empathizes with and engages the lost. That we, I, you, church, that we would go like Christ to those who need him. For which I am an ambassador in chains. Again, Paul says, and also pray for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Do you hear Paul? He's talking about the miracle of the gospel, his alliance and his reliance upon Christ. And a call, a prayer, that he'll be a man on mission no matter what. That he will receive the gift of grace that enables him to proclaim the gospel boldly as he ought. May this be our prayer as well, friends, that those of us that have received the miracle will champion the Messiah by boldly, zealously, passionately, empathetically, compassionately, championing the mission. Oh, friend, I pray that you are hearing the details, understanding the diagram, and beginning to embrace the call to demonstrate. Remember, it was Jesus who said that unless you are willing to pick up your cross daily and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. You see, when we go from here to there, we don't just go through the cross, we pick up a cross. We pick up the cross of Christ. It becomes our cross, and we follow him every day as best we can. Praise God. Listen, friends, I pray that in the detailing, the diagramming, and the demonstrating of Christ's cross and our cross, I pray that you see what 1 John 2:6 and then again 1 John 3:18 lay out before us, that those who claim to be in Christ must walk as Jesus walked. And then verse 18 of chapter 3, let us not love with word and tongue, but in action and in truth. Let us be the real deal. It matters eternally, and it may bring eternal blessings to others. Listen to what Jesus said again in Matthew 12:33. We focused here earlier in the series. I think it's appropriate that we end here. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. The tree is known by its fruit. Jesus said, you will be known by your fruit. Friends, Christians are the forechosen, faithful, fighting, fruit-filled family of God. Christians are the foreknown, forechosen, faithful, fighting, fruit-filled family of God. I wonder if you know where you are. Where are you in this diagram? Remember, friends, that anyone and everyone who is producing biblical fruit, if it's good fruit, it's reliant upon the muscle in that miracle, the Messiah himself. It is the Spirit of God who brings forth any and all fruit. You and I are totally dependent upon him. Again, it's the demonstration of the cross. It's Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but or except through me. Friend, you got to know that if you really are a Christian, God gets all the glory. It's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's all of grace. It's all in and through Christ. It's all for him. If you don't know that, if you don't believe that, if you don't learn that, love that, and live that, then I pray to God that you hear and you heed this gospel call to repent and to believe, to cry out to Jesus for the miracle of saving faith. Ask him to do what only he can do. For you see, friends, for the true Christian family, for the real Christian, for the biblical Christian, our fight is the fruit and the proof of our faith and our family. For the true Christian, our fight is the fruit and the proof of our faith and our family. And at the same time, for the true biblical Christian, our faith is the fruit and the proof of our fight and our family. It is the fruit that we see in both the faith and the fight. The faith is the fruit that proves the fight is in the family, and it is the fight that proves the fruit that says we are truly in the family of God. I pray that this is you. I pray that you have heard and heeded the word of God in its details, in this diagram, and in the demonstration of the cross. Amen and amen. Oh Lord, I pray that each one within the sound of my voice has been drawn closer to you. I pray that this little diagram and its details and its demonstration of the truth of the gospel, the role of the cross, the redemptive work that only comes through you, our Redeemer, the promise of restoration that we see in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Lord, I pray that you have penetrated hearts, either to capture new adopted children or to wake up and to inspire those that have already been captured, who are not truly fulfilling your command and your commission. Lord, may we all humbly say, we love you more today than we did yesterday, and we pray to love you more tomorrow than we do today. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Pure, precious and peaceful, good, gracious and faithful, his blood taught us to love, and his word brought us to life. We make disciples by the power of his spirit. Soldiers who obey all his commands. He sits above our enemies with the whole world in his hands. Lord of all creation, you stand with us until the end. You stay. Pure, precious, and peaceful. You are good, gracious, and faithful. His blood taught us to love. His word brought us new life. We make disciples by the power of his spirit. He makes soldiers who obey all his commands. He sits above our enemies with the whole world in his hands. Lord of all creation, you stand with us until the end. You stay. You stay. Take my hand and I'll walk with you. Hold my heart, and I'll love like it do. Fix my eyes, I'll go where you want me to. Purify my thoughts, Lord, I only want to speak the truth. And take my hand and I'll walk with you. Hold my heart and I'll love like you do. Fix my eyes, I'll go where you want me to. Purify my thoughts, Lord, I only want to speak the truth. And we make disciples by the power of His Spirit. He makes soldiers who obey all His commands. He sits above our enemies with the whole world in His hands. The Lord of all creation, you stand with us until the end. We make disciples by the power of His Spirit. He makes soldiers who obey all His commands. He sits above our enemies with the whole world in His hands. The Lord of all creation, you stand with us until the end. You stand. You stay.